are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, November the 12th, and an RJ Hampton draft profile today, and my pick for the Locked On NBA mock draft. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Pistons fans coming out of the woodwork with all the downloads. Spread the word about the show. Feeling good about the Locked On Pistons podcast. So want everybody to give it a shot these days. A lot of big stuff coming up with the draft. 6 days away on Wednesday, November 18th. And then free agency 2 days after that. So we're going to have a wild end of November. A wild week, really, heading into the Thanksgiving holiday. So lots of episodes to expect, instant reactions, plenty of Fridays with Brian, plenty of almost every day with Brian. We're going to enlist him quite a bit here, get his thoughts. He's kind of our de facto draft expert on these days as well. But we're also going to break down today on the show the thoughts from the listeners and the readers and everyone on Twitter who was talking about what I should do here in the Locked On NBA mock draft, as today is the day that that is released with my selection number 7. We'll tell you about that in a second. We will also make our pick. We've made our pick on the real Locked On NBA mock draft, but I'm going to break it down a little bit further, kind of go deeper into the thinking and why I did what I did. And later on, Brian is going to come with our first off the board version of the NBA draft profile from down under. Well, one season down under anyway, RJ Hampton, a former big-time prospect who's turned into more of a small-time prospect who might be moving up draft boards a little bit here in these last couple months. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brian a follow at B-Shook12. That's my brother, and he has a show contributor who's been helping out immensely during these last few months. And then also give a follow to the PlayMichigan.com Twitter account. That's right. That's my day job. Keeps the bosses happy. Play_Michigan. All your needs and news for sports gambling here in the great state of Michigan. We've referenced this already a little bit, but the NBA draft is days away. As you know, 6 of them now. And the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every first round pick. Not mocking drafts, mock drafting. Maybe you'll be mocking my pick by the end of this. I'm making pick number 7, the 1 through 6. The first episode, it's on the Locked On NBA feed. You can find it if you're listening to this. You know podcasts. Go listen to that from Wednesday's show. 1 through 6 are the picks we're made. We're going to discuss those picks that were made here in a second. And then I start the Thursday episode 2 of the entire first round mock draft with my pick. And I'm excited to hear what those guys have to say. All sorts of draft experts. You got Chad Ford. You got John Hollinger. You got Jeremy Wu. Trade talk, all that stuff. Listen to each expert pick, and then we'll continue after me with 7 through, I think, 12. And then every day until early next week, until we get through the 30 picks of the first round. Check the feed to catch up on past shows, and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get podcasts. So we're going to reset a little bit, and a little spoiler alert here if you didn't listen to Wednesday's Locked On NBA mock draft. So each of the hosts made their picks, and here's how yesterday's 1 through 6 went down. Minnesota, no trades, by the way, in the 1st through 6. Minnesota, LaMelo Ball. Golden State, Anthony Edwards, number 3. The Charlotte Hornets take Onyeka Okongwu, number 4. The Chicago Bulls take Killian Hayes, number 5, Isaac Okoro. And to the Cavs, and then number 6, the Atlanta Hawks select Devin Vassell, number 6. And as I revealed yesterday, the main people that I was thinking about is Tyrese Haliburton. Oh, we'll get into that later. We'll get into your reactions first. And also wanted to throw out there, for our purposes, that Boston, we had initiated trade talks with them, and then right when it was my turn to pick, they officially made the offer of picks number 14, number 26, and number 30, all 3 of their first-round picks in exchange for number 7, no players on my side or their side in their initial offer. So what do? Do you counter their offer? Do you accept the offer? Do you just screw it, say no, we're going to take something else? Do you call a different team and find a trade down that's maybe a little bit less of a trade, of a moving back than number 14? Or do you take Tyrese Halliburton? Do you take James Wiseman? Do you take Denny Avdia? Do you take Kyra Lewis? Do you take RJ Hampton? All these are out there, and we threw the question to you guys late afternoon on Wednesday. And here's some of the responses. We got a big response, so we're going to break it down with you guys. I got at opinionated MJ, and we're going to butcher some of these handles. I hope you guys don't mind. Tell Boston to try to acquire number 10 as well and send all 4 picks to us. That is an audacious claim to make. I like it. Certainly it would be a good trade for the Pistons. Don't know if they would agree to that. It's a thought. Bravo, our one of our favorite listeners, says, I would pick Avdija or Wiseman if that's the pick, but I would not be sad if we trade down with the Celtics and get these picks. The point here is that Killian is gone, so why not trade down? Pistons Talk, one of our favorite listeners out there as well. Anthony runs that account. He says, I'm making the trade with Boston with no hesitation. And then we reached out to him again and said, well, what would you like at 14 if you make the pick? He says, taking a point guard at 14, Kyra Lewis, RJ Hampton, or Cole Anthony. Nothing against Wiseman, Avdija, or Halliburton. If a deal like that is available, I'd rather try to hit on 2 guys than put all my eggs in one basket at number 7. One of the guys, Vincent Morales, 91, says Cole Anthony. West Davenport says take Denny and run away fast before good old Detroit luck kicks in. Robert Canfield says give me Wiseman and pray he's Embiid, Ayton, or Bosch. Lorenzo B313 says Obi, we need help immediately, and he is a grown man. That is true. We do need help immediately. He is a grown man. I agree with that. Bruce Brown Jr. versus everybody. And I don't hate Obi Toppin, by the way. I mean, I know that that kind of – Obi Toppin's going to be a good player, and I'm not going to scream and shout whether if the Pistons take him. I don't agree with the philosophy, but he's going to be a good player. So maybe I oversold my if people think I hate Obi Toppin. I do not hate Obi Toppin. Be fine. Bruce Brown versus everybody says run to pick Halliburton. A lot of guys out there love Halliburton. Reynaldo says I'd take the Boston deal and run with it. And what would you do at 14? We followed up. Brian running the account followed up with him and said either Kyra Lewis, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, or Tyrell Terry. Or figuring somebody will fall, just go best available at 14, then target a point guard like Winston, Trey Jones, or quickly with one of the late round picks. Josh Lake X Lake Show says Wiseman died ? So implying that Wiseman should have been taken at this point. Arthur says all day every day. I'm not really sure what Arthur was saying. Okoro FC says Isaac Okoro. He's already picked, so appreciate the comment, but no chance there. The Vibe Candidate says it's too late. I've already talked myself into Patrick Williams, so one vote for Patrick Williams. Dojumar is one of her favorite Twitter trolls, says run to the accept button. Assume he's talking about the Boston trade there. We followed up with what we do at 14. Doe says best player available there and the other picks. This team is nowhere near competing. Have to just stockpile all the lottery picks you can and hope some of them stick. So a variety of responses. I heard, you know, like I said, Avdija, Wiseman, Halliburton, there were like 1 or 2 votes for each of those guys. Most people seem to think take the trade, right? The Boston Celtics trade, do 14, do 26, or 30. So I liked, first of all, I appreciate that you guys answered. I appreciate that you guys were participating and having some discussions and doing the downloading. I'm assuming you're telling all your friends about this great podcast as well. So thanks to you guys. And I don't know. I'll reveal next what I did. And you can listen to Locked On NBA, the mock draft there, and hear what those guys have to say. Again, anxious to hear what those guys have to say about what I did with the number 7 pick in the NBA draft. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Go. It's like a daily routine for me at this point. Get up way earlier than you want to. Have a productive few hours. Hit the wall right after lunchtime, right? Built Go, it's breaking me through that wall. It makes me the best you at whatever you do. And for me, that's sitting at the computer all day trying to maintain the energy to get all my tasks done throughout the day. It's a workout gel. You eat it. It's delicious. It's great. You break through your wall, whether it's the mental or the physical wall. You break through it with Go Every Day. These come in little 1.5 ounce pouches, packages. Just stick them in your pocket. Really easy to roll. It's in a small box. It doesn't take up room in the kitchen. It's perfect. It's got everything you want. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They got the three delicious flavors. You got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint as well. How does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system very quick-like. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. You get the beta-alanine, B3 honey, and a kick of caffeine as well. Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong, the B6, and 10,000% of your daily percentage of B12. That should hold you over for a little while, too. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health as well. This stuff literally makes you look better. Go visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes, sir!
All right, Brian's got RJ Hampton draft profile coming out a little bit later, and please do check out the Locked On NBA mock draft episodes. The first one with picks 1 through 6 went out on Wednesday. Today, Thursday, is the second episode with your boy, Matt, leading the way with number 7. So, what did I do? Well, you hopefully maybe have listened to that already, and you already know what I did, but want to take you through the thinking process. I like the deal. I like the idea of the 3 picks in the first round. Obviously, you got to clear out 3 roster spots, and you got to give guaranteed deals to all 3 players being first round picks. But maybe you could find a Leandro Balmero type and stash one for a little bit longer and end up with 2 rookies instead. Now, there's a big difference between 7 and 14, but there's still going to be quality players at 14, and who knows if your 7 is going to be the typical year 7. We know that it's something to kind of remember. We've been talking about these guys for so long. I'm listening to every podcast. I'm reading everything on the internet, just like you guys are, that we can get our hands on. And the Locked On NBA Network, by the way, Chad Ford's Big Board. I mean, there's just great stuff all over the place. But this is not a good draft. Let's not forget that. Let's not say, you know, we need to pay the freight to go get the number 1 pick in this one to get Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball. You know how anti that I am. So Tyrese Haliburton is a guy that I've talked about in a group that I like quite a bit. That's the Okongwu, Hayes, Haliburton group. Edwards and Ball are off the board in this particular episode. However, James Wiseman from that high ceiling, and I consider him to have kind of at least a little bit of a medium floor as opposed to a low floor. And so he fell to us as well. And then Denny Avdija is another guy. Now, we've heard about the Patrick Williams stuff. Is there smoke there? Did we need to take a second look at him? Brian talks about Kyra Lewis with glowing terms. RJ Hampton's moving up. Tyrell's out there. Tyrese Maxey as well. I mean, we're talking about guys that could be more in the mix for number 14 if we do the deal with Boston. I'm not opposed to taking this deal with the Boston Celtics, but I did not do that. I also have some intel that the reason that they wanted to trade up was they wanted to take – well, I'm not going to blow that. So go listen to the podcast if you want to know who they wanted to take there. But another player that I considered was Denny Avdija. So we got Avdija, Wiseman, and Haliburton. I did cross off Williams on my list. It's just a reach for me at 7. And I know that this fits in with Troy Weaver's past players and pickups and draftees. And there's a world where Patrick Williams turns into a very good NBA player. And I'm not going to throw my chair across the room if that's what happens on Wednesday. So Haliburton, right? It's a player that I like. It's a player that I – and by the way, my big board, and we'll finalize another one early next week. But Okongwu and Edwards are probably going to be 1 and 2 on my big board. But then I've got kind of I've decided to kind of kick LaMelo Ball even out of my top 7. So my next 4 are going to be some order of Hayes, Haliburton, Wiseman, and Avdija. And then my 7th is kind of up for discussion still there. So I don't have to worry about my 7th with this pick, but and Hayes is off the board. So that Haliburton, Wiseman, and Avdija, got to make a tough choice between those 3 guys. I like Haliburton because he can serve as like kind of a quasi-lead guard down, you know, later on in his development, possibly as a guy who kind of has the primary ball handling duties, given that you have Luke Kennard's and Bruce Brown's on the floor that can create their own offense on their own, maybe even a Blake Griffin type of four. I don't know, Sekou's not a playmaker, obviously, at this point, but maybe someone that you have in the front court and of the Pistons' future team is a player that has the ball in their hands quite a bit as well. And you love Tyrese Halliburton's character, and you love his defense as well. Denny Avdia, good player, certainly a medium ceiling and medium floor as well. You know, kind of should be a pretty solid NBA player. Young, you don't love the shot, but he's made some turn the corner and under immense pressure after the pandemic, so you like that. And, you know, certainly Luka Doncic has removed a little bit of the stigma of the European players. But and the Israeli league is certainly superior to even the German league that Killian Hayes played in, Sekou's French league when he was a young guy as well. So it's a good competition, but it's not exactly Luka playing on Real Madrid. So some of those teams that are the best club teams over in Europe. But the Israelis good. Maccabi Tel Aviv, good team. Maccabi Tel Aviv is a good team as well. And then James Wiseman, who is a guy who's talked about by most folks that I listen to as a top three pick in this NBA draft, falling down to us. Now, there's real legitimate reasons why he fell down. You don't love the defense. You don't love the amount of evidence that he's a very good player. You do love the high school productivity, of course, that's high school. But you do love the EYBL productivity as well. You love the fact that he's a highly touted big-time recruit. You like the fact that even though he was suspended for games, it seems to be for kind of reasons that aren't morally wrong anymore. I mean, the idea that you take money to go to college is kind of turned on its head in these past 10 years as being a serious black mark on someone's record, to now being certainly understandable that you're trying to cash in and take care of your family at times. And that was even the Penny Hardaway before he was the Memphis coach. Now, they knew it was wrong and still knew it was wrong when it happened, but the talent is there. The shot blocking ability is there. Whether the defensive instincts are there, certainly not switchable like Onyeka Okongwu. The shot is theoretical at this point. You hope that comes through. But as far as a guy who can catch lobs and contribute even as a young player in years one and two, you like what you see. So what did I do? I didn't take the picks from Boston. Maybe I should have countered with throw in Grant Williams and then we're talking and take back something we don't want. You know, maybe there could have been a counteroffer there. We're a little bit on the clock in terms of these drafts. Get these over with so we can get the recording done to let you behind the curtain there a little bit. So what I did is I made the safe pick. I made the easy pick. I made the one where I said, look, this is a guy who's been projected to be in the top three. He's a guy who might make all-star teams. He's a guy who's going to be at a position of need for the Detroit Pistons. Now, I know that wing might be more of a need, and Halliburton could be that kind of quasi-point, quasi-wing that could help out kind of both of your situations there. And I think Halliburton's going to be a rotation player for his career. Same thing with Avdija. Avdija might even have a little bit more ceiling to his game as well. But no, I went with James Wiseman. And I know it's crazy. I know there's a lot of people out there that really dislike James Wiseman. I think that NBA Twitter, draft Twitter, is not really in love with James Wiseman. The fact that he fell all the way to seven in this draft will tell you all you need to know about the bona fide experts of the Locked On Network that didn't take him 1 through 6. So, yeah, he's not a very loved guy on the internet. And there's some people out there that think he's a bust in every sense of the word. And I know that Pistons fans out there throw the Andre Drummond thing out there that you don't build around a center. This is not how you do things. And we've been dealing with this team that has had most of their talent in power forward and center for these past few years, and it obviously hasn't worked out very well. They need more talent on the perimeter. There is no doubt about that, and I agree. But, man, just the idea that you can be talking about a multi-time All-Star for the Detroit Pistons and a player that is teams are thinking about trading up early to get him in the real world, not in this NBA mock draft world that we have for Locked On Network. I'm going to go with the experts and go with the teams and what they're saying. So with the 7th pick of the Locked On NBA mock draft, the Detroit Pistons and your boy Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast take James Wiseman of Memphis. And it really wasn't all that tough of a pick for me, to be completely honest. I don't expect him to be there for the Pistons in the real draft at number 7. But if he is, I think it's kind of a little bit of a, not a no-brainer for Troy Weaver, but a not that big of a brainer for Troy Weaver to make this pick. And that's just where I'm at with it. So James Wiseman, welcome to Detroit and our fictional world of Detroit that we have here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. What do you think? Let me know. Tell me I'm an idiot. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me. But next up, Brian, talking about RJ Hampton. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
A couple months ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your top 7 big board for the Pistons in the 2020 NBA draft. And after you guys did, there were 18 names that were submitted. Now, we've finished profiling those players, but in the time since the lists were submitted, a few players have garnered some interest, and we figured it was worth looking into, in case the Pistons trade down or pick up some more picks, like Matt's prediction that he's based his career on. So today we look at RJ Hampton, a 19-year-old, 6'5", 185-pound point guard. Born in Dallas, Texas, Roderick Hampton Jr., RJ for short, was a high school standout for Little Elm High School in Little Elm, Texas. Some of the awards and notoriety he collected were Max Preps All-American Freshman First Team, Max Preps All-American Sophomore First Team, USA Today All-USA Texas First Team, USA Today All-USA First Team, Max Preps All-American First Team, and Texas Gatorade Player of the Year. Hampton averaged over 30 points and almost 10 rebounds and 6 assists his junior year before reclassifying to the class of 2019. He represented the United States and won a gold medal in both the 2016 FIBA Americas Under-16 Championship and the 2017 FIBA Under-17 World Cup. Hampton was a 5-star recruit coming out of school, but because of some allegations about an agent's desire to pay him and his desire to play against grown men and not have to worry about books and basketball, he spurned offers from several major college programs to play for the New Zealand Breakers in the National Basketball League, an Australian-based professional league. Hampton played 15 games and averaged 9 points and 4 rebounds during the season, which also saw him miss a month due to an injury in the middle of the year before declaring for the 2020 NBA draft. Hampton talked about the challenges during an unorthodox lead-up to this year's draft during his combine media availability.
You know, just keeping your mind sharp, knowing that, you know, this too shall pass. So, I think, you know, with the virtual the draft and the pre-combine stuff, you just got to stay locked in, honestly.
Hampton was at or near the top of whatever class of players he was classified in his entire high school career. And although not eye-popping numbers, was able to compete against mature and experienced competition to some success overseas. He has blazing speed and can finish well at the rim, and although he shot under 30% from three, his motion and release are good. And if coaching can coach sloppy and inconsistent footwork out of his shooting motion, that number should improve. But Hampton's slender frame will be a liability until he can add weight and play through contact and improve his already creative ability to finish. He is a score first point guard, and his playmaking does leave something to be desired. The confident guard plays well in pick and roll situations, but then we get to the defensive end of the court. First, his lack of strength makes him look very ill-equipped trying to fight through screens, and his footwork trying to move around them when he doesn't just capitulate and lazily go under them is a mess. It doesn't make sense that someone so explosive and quick on one end of the court seemingly can't keep up with anyone on the other side of the court. But honestly, it can be attributed to sloppy footwork and not much effort. Now, defensive shortcomings are usually able to be coached more easily than the offensive end, but he's going to have to admit to needing to get better and wanting to get better. Some mocks have him in the late lottery, but most settle in the late teens or early to mid-20s, and that is probably right, as he is going to be a project both mentally and physically. His offensive game peaked my interest initially, but the defense is such a liability without it drastically improving, I can't see him starting in the NBA. A good comparison I saw that is pretty fair, if not aspirational, is Jordan Clarkson. Thanks for listening, and we will be back with the next installment when we will look at guard Tyrese Maxey.
Brian, not a big fan of RJ Hampton, so, you know, we know where he stands, certainly at number 7, or certainly at number 14 if the Pistons were traded down, or at number 7. The prediction that I made, by the way, just to clear that up, is that I believe the Pistons will make 2 first-round picks. I'm not necessarily saying they're trading down. That my prediction was still right if they stay at 7 and make a trade to acquire another pick in taking a contract back or something like that. I just think that there's a lot of teams out there that are going to use their pick to they're going to try to use their pick to sell out of a contract to get under the luxury tax or maybe clear up a little bit of space or a little bit of wiggle room as free agency and the NBA league year continues or opens up a few days after the draft. So that's my prediction. Pistons will take two first-round picks some way, somehow, at least two. And Brian, given us all we need to know about RJ Hampton heading in to next week. But that'll do it here for the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll have Fridays with Brian tomorrow, the favorite show of the listeners every week. There, I'll say it. I'll make an unsubstantiated claim and say that right there. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Check me out in that mock draft. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.